Oh yeah, that funkified groove must mean it's time for another Alarm Buzz, the podcast that brings all aspects of the alarm industry together with leaders from integrators, hardware manufacturers, software developers, central stations, and more. In this podcast, we discuss the latest industry happenings, new products on the market, best practices, increasing value and protection for your customers, increasing RMR for you, and much, much more. Are you ready? Let's get our buzz on. Welcome to Alarm Buzz. I am Trent Watcott, the host with the worst podcasting voice on planet Earth. And unfortunately, the brilliantly talented Hannah Boone will not be here today to make sure I don't burn this sucker down. Hannah had something emerge this morning, so she is off taking care of something else. It is also my distinct honor to have Celia Besor join us. We will give her an appropriate introduction in a few minutes. But we're also excited to have you, the listener, join us. And seriously, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for your support. We set out doing this for no other reason than to be a fun, lighthearted outlet of information for the alarm industry. If you find value here, please subscribe and forward it on to your colleagues in the industry. We hope to continue doing this for a very, very long time. So thank you. A quick mention to Alarm Hive for continuing to support our podcast. Our team there has been so good to us, making Alarm Buzz possible. We appreciate everything that they have done. Celia, do you know anyone who has actually been a victim of a break-in?
Not personally. I do know. Actually, that's not true. I do have an acquaintance that her house was broken in. Unfortunately, they didn't have an alarm system. Her husband was actually traveling, and she came in and found out somebody had broken in. So they had just moved in the area, so they really didn't know almost anyone. So she gave us a call, and you know, we just picked her up, and she stayed with us until her husband came back from his trip. But that's about the only time. But of course, being part of the alarm industry, as you know, being in the association, I do know lots of stories that our members have shared. We actually we have a magazine that's a quarterly magazine called the TMA Dispatch, and we try to feature on the last column always history stories of safes, and I can tell you everything from fires to CO detectors, you know, saving people's lives, obviously burglaries. I myself, before I even thought I would ever work in this industry, I had an alarm system. I've always been very conscious of the value of security and peace of mind. So I'm almost like the poster girl of the consumer of alarm systems.
Well, my in-laws a few years ago, they were robbed while they were out of town. And that's when we lived in Las Vegas. They live in Vegas, and that's when we lived there too. And we were keeping an eye on their house. You know, every day we would drive by. They only lived a few minutes away, and we didn't, you know, at one point we needed to borrow their truck. I have a truck and we needed theirs. I can't remember what we were doing, but we needed two of them. And to this day, I still have on my conscience that it could be our fault, because when we borrowed that truck, we went to take it back, and my son to this day cannot remember if he locked the doors to that truck or not. And these thieves used the garage door opener in the truck, opened their garage, backed the truck in, piled thousands and thousands of dollars worth of their belongings into the bed of the truck, and drove off. What stung the most was my father-in-law's collection of his family's heirloom hunting rifles and shotguns. I mean, they'd been for generations. And they called us as soon as they got home. And, you know, we were there in 10 minutes, and they were heartbroken. And I don't think they'll ever be the same. And my heart broke for them. as many of the things that were stolen were irreplaceable.
And you're absolutely right. It's not the money, right? It's the memories. Even if he could buy something equivalent, it's never going to be the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the truck was recovered, but it was already considered gone for good. So that's something like, so what? It's a truck. He bought another one. Yeah. And, you know, they had their insurance money replace things. But you're right. Like, first of all, you never get your feeling of safety in your home back that you once had. Like, you're never back where you were. And my father-in-law's weapon, one of the weapons he had, was used in a crime a few months later.
Oh, wow.
And the police even knew at that point that one of the thieves, they even knew who it was, some 17-year-old kid. And other than that, Las Vegas Metro Police did just north of zero to help them recover any of their stuff. And I've since had that discussion with my father-in-law, and they're, you know, they're so glad that no one was able to access their digital life as a result of the break-in, you know, the passwords or whatever were kept in a spot that was safe. But, you know, since then, my father-in-law and I have had that conversation that, you know, there's two things that we now have to worry about. Break-ins, and they didn't have an alarm system. They should have. Actually, there's one in their house. They just don't have it ever turned on or monitored. But the other thing that we now have to worry about is these unauthorized logins. Scary? You know, on last week's episode, we had Jamie and Todd from a company called Invisys. And it was a special episode that we put together intended for dealers to pass along to their customers to build their awareness of the risks associated with cyber break-ins. It is insane how that has increased since people have begun to work at home. I mean, they've seen a 30% increase over break-ins in the past. And this product that they have is called iDefend, and for $1 a month, people get $1 million worth of coverage if anything happens with somebody accessing their cyber world. They'll spend $1 million in attorney fees, whatever it takes to make that person whole. If they have to take time off work, they compensate them for that and everything. It's an insane offer.
Wow. Sounds like
and it's incredible. So, you know, if anybody wants to know more about Invisys or iDefend and how they can protect themselves, thank goodness, you know, your story of people being broken into, it's horrible. My in-laws, what a horrible experience, but thankfully that other aspect of their life, wasn't affected. So,
and nobody was hurt, right? That's the key too. Yeah, things are.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Oh, it would just have just been horrible.
Yeah.
But we also now need to protect our digital lives. Unfortunately, I mean, somebody could steal your retirement plan. They could steal log into your bank account, and you know, they would be sorely disappointed if they logged into my bank account. They would have picked the wrong person. They are not a good criminal, but you know, I still need what's in there. So, again, Celia, welcome. Celia and I had a really, really fun conversation before we started recording about genealogy and what, you know, where her ancestors came from, where mine came from. It was so much fun. And I just love talking with Celia. We've had a couple of other opportunities to chat, and it's been so good. So what I would like to do is just give some highlights of your experience, and then we'll get on to some questions for you about the industry. Celia is the executive director of the Monitoring Association, or TMA. They just finished their, did you say it's your mid-year?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your mid-year conference. And I was not there, but apparently, or there in spirit digitally, but it apparently went really, really well. they're a great, great, great organization. We've just become big fans of she and her team. She's also worked for TMA before. She was the vice president of marketing and programs and also the vice president of membership and programs. She also served as director and CEO of the National Association of Hispanic Nurses, which is very interesting. Maybe she'll get into that a little bit when we talk to her some more. She's a member of the Security Council for UL. She earned her MBA from George Mason University, Great Free Market School, with emphasis in strategic management and marketing. So we have two marketers here on this podcast. So who knows what could happen? She received her certified association executive from the American Society for Association Executives in May. And from 2010 to 2012, she was the ASAE Diversity Executive Leadership Program Scholar. And one thing I've learned about Celia is she hates talking about herself. Yeah. But she has had some great experience, and a lot of what Celia has done has come from, and I know this, I can say this for myself, that I know Celia has done these things because she loves to serve other people. And we've had those discussions as well, and I've caught that as she's been talking. Celia, we'd love to hear more of your story. What is your why that has led you to achieving such success in your career?
Well, I think everybody wants to have a life that's meaningful, right? And we spend so many hours at work and with the people that we work with that I cannot imagine working in a place where you don't believe in what you're doing. So all the associations that I have worked for and all the places that I have worked for, there's always things that have always been important to me. So, you know, we were talking before, the topic of sanitation, obviously the topic of security, the topic of health, access to health, to healthcare. So that's kind of always have been my why. When I have volunteer, it's always something related to that, something that I believe in the mission. Like I said, otherwise, it's just every day the same, a grind, you go to work. We all have days like that. We all need to work for a living.
Sure.
But it makes it so much easier when you like what you're doing, or at least you believe. There are days we don't like what we do, but we believe in why we're doing it, and that makes it so much easier. So.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I once had a person tell me, and I've heard this since, but if you love what you do, you'll never work a day of your life. And although there are days where this feels like work.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I loved what you just said. What was it you said? It can be a bad day, but if you believe in the mission. I loved it the way that you said that. I'll have to go back and listen. It was fabulous. Thank you. So in your role, what do you do to support TMA members?
So we try to stay close to the members and kind of listen and sometimes even kind of guess a little bit what they may be needing. You know, last year, I'm very happy to say that we work very closely with our members. I think everybody had to. Everybody you knew helped each other. And so we just did whatever the members needed at the moment. So we started having weekly town halls that were virtual. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, the topic changed from week to week. We never knew when we finished one what the next week topic would be. It would depend on what the members needed at that particular time. And, you know, we have tried to do that throughout the whole year and also this year. You know, the needs of the members change. Right now we are one of our projects that we have, we're trying to advocate for an extension of one of the telecommunication companies' 3G sunset because we understand because of COVID, the challenge that, you know, our members, but also to be honest, we advocate for everybody, right, in the industry that they have had trying to get into the premises to change their radios and so forth. So, you know, we are basically always listening to what are the things that our members really need, and by inference, of course, the rest of the industry.
Right, yeah.
You know, we have many programs, standards, for example, going back to last year, when our members realized there were some states were starting to talk about closing down and not allowing people to come to work, they started worrying, well, what are we going to do? We still need to support our customers, right?
Sure.
Most of our members are UL listed. So that also added another layer where they had to be abiding by the rules that at that time UL listed companies had. Nobody would have ever considered working from home. So I'm very happy to say, and many kudos to UL. Very quickly, you know, we started working with them, and we ended up having some guidelines pretty quickly from UL, allowing UL companies, monitoring companies, to do whatever it took because of the social distancing, be able to have some operators working from home if needed.
Right.
We also knew that there were other people, like our installers, that needed help. And that's something you cannot do from home, right? But they had to be able to go out and service, you know, systems that may be not working. So we also worked through one of our committees, the Alarm Industry Communications Committee, which is a committee, but also other associations belong to it, as well as other companies. It's a really great group. And we started advocating to Congress, but also actually to the White House, to be included on a list of essential workers. You could argue that we were kind of covered under some categories, but there was no category that specifically mentioned us, our industry. So,
is that right?
Yes, we were very lucky. At the time, we had people that knew people in the White House, and the next version of that particular document added specifically our industry. And again, that was because one member came to us. It's like, we're hearing people are being labeled essential. How can we get on that list? So that's how. So basically, we have been reacting to what members come to us. And we just try to educate them. We're a very small group. There's only 7 of us on the staff side. So you can imagine,
right. We
can't do everything, but we try to do as much as we can. And we work with other groups. You know, obviously, we collaborated with ESA, with SIA, to try to do some of the GR-related activities that we have. So we just try to do whatever our members need. We also knew we couldn't have face-to-face meetings, so we decided to go virtual last year, and we did our annual meeting and our UpsTech meeting virtual. The UpsTech meeting was a new meeting that we had put together to separate meetings, so that was kind of interesting. Brand new meeting. We were not doing it as we had planned face-to-face. The annual meeting, typically we go to great locations, so that was also kind of a challenge. How can we bring the interaction of all the people that they value so much, that networking, into a virtual environment? So it's been quite a year. But I think,
to say the least.
I think sometimes those challenging times makes you become more innovative and try things that, like in the industry, who would have, maybe they thought about working from home, but who would have done that experiment, right? And now, after, gosh, it's been a year. If you think about it, we're already in April. We started in March, a year of being able to do it. I think it's shown that it's a concept that could work for regular time.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I hope we don't totally move to that. I miss going to conferences, and just like you walk in the door and you can smell that rented carpet and just such a great, you know, couple of days to meet people. And but it's really cool that we as a society have found out that we can do, you know, face-to-face meetings over the internet. You know what? It's funny because I've learned, I used to hate doing conference calls where it was video. And now I'm to the point where I would so much rather do a Zoom meeting or something like that than just listen on the phone to somebody. And it's been really neat to see that we have found a way to still stay connected with each other. You know, and hopefully that won't be everything that we do, but it's good to know that we can, if something happens.
Yeah. I find it very disorienting anymore when I talk to people on the phone, because you're missing, first of all, you don't see them. I like people. So I like seeing people, and it would have been pretty lonely here in my little office for a year without seeing, you know, other than my wonderful husband, obviously. But so I really love video calls. And, you know, you get the cues and you get, I have met so many people that I would have never seen because now we have video. And, and you're right. Let's face it, face to face is always better. We actually are looking forward. I think I mentioned to you, maybe I didn't, but our annual meeting this year is in Maui, Hawaii. And we had to open the hotel registrations early because the hotel was telling us people are calling us. Your people want to get rooms already. So I Is think people right? are craving being face to face. Obviously, like we all do, right? We're playing it safe and, you know, who knows what will happen in October. We're hopeful. But yeah, people are craving. Now, the good part about the virtual, though, is that we had people where maybe one or two people would come to a meeting. We had multiple people coming. So there's some advantages to the virtual, but I think everybody's craving seeing people, real face-to-face, you know, other than your immediate family and your pets and as much as we love them.
We are, Celie and I are both poodle lovers. So we, hers jumped in once when we were on a video call and I knew immediately what kind of dog it was, but I said, what kind of dog is that? And she said, it's a poodle. And so I have a standard poodle. So we talked and shared pictures and stuff like that. And that would have never happened over the phone. I would have just heard a dog bark.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So we talked about what you did during COVID and how you helped. What are some of the other important initiatives that you can share with us that TMA is currently undertaking?
Sure. We have a lot of projects going on. I would like to highlight our ASAP to PSAP program. It's a way for people that may not be familiar. When you get a signal to your monitoring station after you confirm, you typically have to grab the phone and call they call them now ECC. They used to be called PSAP. It's an emergency communication center. And, you know, you talk to a call taker that takes the information and then sends it eventually to the person that will make the decision whether to dispatch public safety. Right. And ASAP to PSAP is a system where basically by the click of an icon, you send all that information within seconds to the, not the call taker, but directly to the screen of the person that's going to make the decision. So, you know, when you think about fire and even like we were talking about burglary and other emergencies, I mean, a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, that can make a big difference. Also, the address is verified before, you know, when people become part of the program, every time we add a jurisdiction, people verify that their address correspond to the address, the real address. So minimal mistakes about sending people to the wrong place. Also, you know, you have, it also ensures that you're contacting the right jurisdiction, because sometimes you call somebody like, no, that's not ours. So think about all the time that's wasted. Also misunderstandings. I have an accent. So, you know, maybe if I say something, you may not quite understand the street or whatever. So it's a fabulous program. So that program has been going for a while. And it's really, I remember when I came back to TMA about 4.5 years ago now, I have seen the last 3 years how they have really speed up on adoption among the ECCs. And a lot of it is, you know, again, it's word of mouth. We don't have the big, you know, $1 billion behind us to do marketing. So it's
oh, you don't?
No. It's only word of mouth, you know, people, we see it like a pebble in a pond, you know, somebody, our jurisdiction gets it. And pretty soon after, people around them hear about it and they become the best ambassadors we have. And then they come and they contact us. So in that project, we're doing a complete refresh of that technology. We used to be more hardware phase, you know, and VPNs. Now we're moving to more being on the cloud and SSL security certificates and things like that. And what that's going to do is allowing us to kind of do other things that right now would have not been possible to do. We also, that program works through the Inlets system, which is the same network that when the police stops people and get their license plate and checks and see the status and your license, that's the system that this system is tapped into. So they're their requirements in order for people to participate in ASAP to PSAP program, because we need to be sure that anybody that's in that network, it's legit and it's going to use it for the good. And so, so that's one project. Another project is we are working on a new standard that I think it's going to be transformational in our industry. It's called the alarm verification standard. And what it is when people in the monitoring station, they receive many signals, right? They could get like a motion detector, a door contact, whatever signals, video, audio, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's going to, this standard is looking for ways that we can codify, give a code or a value point to each of those signals that are being received to come up with a score that then one can send when you send the information to the ECC, to the, you know, center, it will tell them, okay, this, by the algorithm, this is a red zone call, right? So that they can prioritize which things have higher priority than whatever. Like the other day, my office actually, somebody opened the door but the motion detector didn't trigger. So when they called me from our monitoring center, I knew, I said, did the motion detector trigger? And they said no. So I said, you know what? It's probably somebody that didn't, you know, from the cleaning group or whatever. So just cancel. So that, imagine that, but in a bigger way, that everybody could be educating the police and providing more information, or, you know, whoever, fire, whoever it is. So they have more awareness of what the situation is.
Right.
So we feel that down through time, that's really going to change, you know, how things are handled. You know, we still obviously believe on, you know, verification before you contact, but let's face it, sometimes you just can't verify, right? So that's a big project we have. We have people from all the major public safety organizations are part of the committee. We have like a 45 committee of people. We have some subcommittees that are working on it. It's going extremely well, and we're very, very excited about what this is going to mean for the future. We're also making sure that it's something that is reachable for all companies. So, you know, it may sound like it's going to be very sophisticated, but one of the things they're keeping in mind is that in order for this to work, it has to be something that all company sizes can adopt. So that's something that's very much in the mind. We also, talking about Las Vegas, I remember 2 years ago in Las Vegas, we actually released a press release that we have been chosen to be the entity in the alarm industry, the security industry, that will be issuing certificates for FirstNet. And I hope all your listeners are aware of what FirstNet is, but it's a more secure, hardened way of communicating from the premises, from the customers to the monitoring station. And it's It's really a game changer. I would like for people to look into it. Right now, two companies already have products. So it took a little bit, you know, for people to get interested. I'm not sure if we should say their name. I'm happy to say it. I know other companies are
That's up to you.
And also working on them. The MP and NAPCO, I know, have equipment right now that's FirstNet enabled. But again, I know there are other companies in the industry that are probably working on it. And so that has been a very important thing because, again, we take that responsibility very serious because you don't want anyone. That's the FirstNet is the communication that the public safety is using. It came out of the 9/11 when, remember, people could not communicate between agencies and things like that. So
right, yeah.
This is something that was the FirstNet Authority was established by Congress. And eventually AT&T won the contract to actually be the ones to provide the services. But we believe it's going to take longer. You know, it's going to have to be more reliable. We've had already, you know, times when there's a lot of broadband. So the chances that we would be, our industry is considered, we're not the primary. We're extended primary. So there's always, if it was like a major catastrophe that would take the whole world, you know, the whole U.S., maybe we would be kind of kicked out. But there's so much broadband available that everybody that we have talked to say that would be an extremely rare situation. So for the alarm industry to be sure that regardless what happens, your communications are going to come through, we believe in that project. One of the requirements to be in that project is you have to be UL listed dealer. But also we were able to have the FirstNet approve our IQ program. And that's another big initiative that we basically have started. It's the IQ. Okay. It's a program for installations, for quality installations, as well as monitoring. But mainly it has to do a lot with installation. And of course, for us, the goal, which is one of our main goals in our industry, is reduce false alarms. So it's a way of certifying companies that follow specific, you know, all the standards in the industry and things like that. So that was another way for those dealers that become IQ certified, they can also become FirstNet certified. So, you know, those are four projects. I also mentioned 3G, the 3G sunset. There's a lot of concerns.
That's a doozy.
Yeah, a lot of concerns about, you know, what's going to happen. We're also working with MAWA, which is the monitoring alarm industry side of the association, again, through the AICC that I mentioned before, because there are many concerns. Because of COVID, we pretty much wasted a year where people could not go in, and there are a lot of concerns. So we're trying to work on that. And like I said, we also cold blocking, as you know, because you and I were talking about spammers that call our phone all the time.
We were.
So with good intentions, you know, the telecom companies have put in place ways that they can, through some artificial intelligence or some scheme, try to detect what is not a real call. What's happening is many times calls from monitoring centers are getting blocked. Either,
oh gosh.
Yeah, labeled as spam or just blocked. And I mean, think about the repercussions on that. So,
horrible.
We continue to try to work with the FCC and the different companies to try to get, you know, our members' phone numbers whitelisted and things like that, so that obviously our companies are telling their customers, hey, make sure that, you know, because a lot of people now are getting the calls on their cell phone, right? So make sure that you have us on your caller ID so that when we call you, you see that it's our company. So,
yeah,
like I said, it's like almost every week there's something new that our members, and like I said, many of these things are our members that come to us and they share a concern. And, you know, we look into it, and if it's something that feels within our mission and we can, we go at it, or we try to get other allies. I mentioned the other associations in the industry, you know, because we know that people can't do things on their own, right? We need to work as a group, and right. Why not, right? We just want to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I mean, and the work this industry does, at the end of the day, the goal is to keep people safe. And absolutely. If industry or if associations didn't work together, that could interrupt that. And, you know, I don't know if you still have that connection in the White House that you once had, but talk about a true advantage, an industry or an association who has connections like that. I mean, I think it's no mistake that a lot of associations are located around the DC area because this is such a vital service that this industry provides. And I mean, that's not just lip speak. That is a true principle.
Well,
go ahead.
No, imagine when everything was closed, restaurants, all these places, if they didn't have a security system when they were empty. And imagine what can happen, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? I mean, those doors, I mean, if it's just locked, that's easy to get into, and somebody could really make off with some. You know, somebody else's livelihood.
Or even worse, have one or two employees only with no customers because they're doing carry out and somebody comes in, you know, it's I believe, I believe in security systems.
Yeah. People are crazy. But yeah, I mean, I everybody I've spoken to at TMA believes that. And that's what we love about this association. And so from your very different vantage point for the industry, there are probably only a handful of people that have the view that you do. What do you see in our future?
Well, it's hard to always think about what can happen, right? If there's something we learn is that the future is, you know, this last year, pretty hard to plan ahead, right?
Right.
So this is just, I still believe there is going to be a place for the professionally installed and professionally monitored industry. And I'm talking more as a consumer now than as somebody that works for an association. There's no question that many people are doing things on their own, and there is a place for that.
Sure.
But when I put my consumer hat, and I think about being 24/7 responsible for my house and, you know, my family and things like that, when I may not be next to my phone, because, right, most of it comes to your cell phone.
Right.
I worry about what can happen in the future. So I still think that this is a great industry to be in. I think people do need to think about differently, need to think about other services that can be provided. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many, you know, on the monitoring side. And by the way, a lot of people, when they hear our name is the Monitoring Association, they think all we do only is monitoring. But most of our members are some of the bigger companies that install and monitor, and as well as some of the contract monitoring companies. You know, when I think about what they do and the way they do things, I think they, and I see that in my members, they're not that they're moving away from fire and, you know, intrusion protection, because that's obviously so critical, but I see that they're adding additional services. Mm-hmm. And we always say that the monitoring of everything. So to our side, on the monitoring side, we feel that there's going to be so much more to monitor that a single person is going to be annoying to have all these signals sent to you alone. So you're going to want to have somebody that will be able to kind of coordinate and kind of give you the heads up when it's something important. You mentioned cyber. We even have some members that have now offer cybersecurity services.
Yep. Because
it's a total concept of security, right? Like you said, it's not just your physical things, assets, but it's like, I mean, what happens if they steal your identity, right? And I mean, that's terrible. But again, I think the industry is going to change. It's going to have to change. I think we do see a lot of consolidation, mergers and acquisitions. Mm-hmm. But also, I believe that there's also people that are doing new things and are going to come up with new ways of doing things. And that always happens, right? And some of them will be successful and some will not be.
Right.
So, I mean, if...
Yeah, I totally agree on cybersecurity, and I'm making that my mission, because I've talking with Invisys and partnering with them, it's what people are losing, what people are stealing. Somebody's going to be there to provide cybersecurity. I mean, it's a given. They have become masters at stealing stuff, and not only for individuals but for business. I feel like I'm getting on my soapbox now.
Yeah,
but
it's okay.
It might as well be the alarm industry. I mean, it might as well be the person who is protecting, or the entity that is protecting people from break-ins, to also be the one that's protecting them from logins that are unauthorized. And I think any dealer who lets this opportunity pass them by is crazy, because somebody's going to be there. It is an incredible way to continue serving your customer. It is an incredible way to increase your recurring monthly revenue by doing something that is honorable and helpful to your customer. We've partnered with them. I'm sure there are other companies out there. Mm-hmm. We're very impressed with what Invisys has done. The iDefend product blows my mind. I was counting up. I can save money by dropping my home title lock policy, by dropping my credit reporting. I have a credit protection company who I pay $30 a month to.
Wow.
And as I was trying to, well, I was going through the process of qualifying for this home that we just moved into, I found out that somebody had tried to buy a car. And I'm assuming it's a car.
Wow.
They tried three different credit agencies using my social security number. And thankfully something stopped them along the way, because, you know, unfortunately, the inquiries now show up on my credit. Well, this company has done zero to take that off of my credit report and make me whole again. iDefend would do that. I mean, if an alarm dealer is not going to provide that, somebody is going to. And it's, you know, we have a methodology that we recommend that they use to work with the customers to help them see the value. The dollar per subscription thing gets them started. But sorry, this is your show, not mine.
I'm just the host.
But I'm telling you, if a dealer is not jumping on this, they are out of their minds. It's so easy. It's mailbox money for them, because somebody else is handling it. And I mean, they can increase their RMR by up to $6 or $7 a month. For every customer, you multiply that times
adds a lot. Yeah,
a thousand. That's, you know, that's money that works while you sleep. So I will drop that because you're the guest, not me.
No worries.
But I appreciate you. I think you're absolutely right that there are more and more things that are coming up that need to be monitored. And you cannot take all of the calls and notifications that would come in. There's somebody that's going to have to handle that for you.
Well, and you and I were talking, kind of joking about artificial intelligence, and mm-hmm. I know I have read things, you know, that they're going to take on, and, you know, people won't be needed anymore. Maybe it will happen. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. We were laughing about our, I don't want to say the names because I'm sure we will trigger our devices. But when our phones and other devices turn on their own when we don't even call them.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit worse. Or they don't understand the simple questions we ask.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think.
Or they don't respond.
Yeah. I think it's they're not ready to replace humans right now. Eventually, yeah. Who knows what will happen. But and I know there are more sophisticated uses of AI out there, even sure. Even in our industry. I mean, I know we have some members that do sophisticated video analysis, you know, analytics and things like that. But I've also heard, you know, some people like, oh, they're going to be replacing monitoring center operator. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
No.
You know, I think humans still have an edge.
Yep. Somebody's got to control it at some point. I mean, when Celia called me, so I have two HomePod minis that sit on top of these orange lamps. And she called me and I'm like, okay, because I had music playing because I always do when I'm working. And I said, okay, I said, hey, Siri, pause. And it didn't pause. And so I eventually just had to go down there and unplug them. So yeah, we're not totally there yet. So,
well, imagine you're
Celia, what is your favorite part about your job? And I know it's going to be hard to narrow it down, but if you had to tell your favorite part of your job, what would that be?
I don't know. I love talking to members. I love working on projects with them. I also mentioned there's only 7 of us. So it's when COVID started and we all went virtual, we meet every day, which I know there are days when they'd rather we don't do that. But I felt it was important to see each other every day just for, you know, first thing in the morning. So I like, you know, talking to people, making things happen. I am a very impatient person. The people that know me, they know that I like to make things happen. So that is one of the things that I really enjoy about my job, is to be able to help the members. And you know, there are things we do that are not successful. That's okay. I'd rather we do something. Sure. 2 years ago, we decided we were going to have a news once a week, a news using Alexa. Hopefully I won't trigger mine. And so once a week we would do like the news, a little news brief from TMA using that device. And it really didn't go anywhere.
Oh.
So we were, that's, you know, right. We thought it would be a great way people could be brushing their teeth and listen to our news, but it didn't work. So we you know, stopped it and nobody complained. So obviously we got the right gut feeling that it wasn't worth it. So we're going to always try to do new things and, you know, and see what is the right thing to do. You know, of course, we're constrained by our resources and sure. We have priorities that we need to pay attention to. But that's what I like. I like to make things happen. When, you know, I was in the nurses those 6 years, so much happened and I was so happy. And by the time it's like, you know what, I've done everything I can do for this group and I knew it was time to move on. And that's, you know, one day probably will happen here. I hope not in the immediate future, but, you know, when I feel like I cannot get there anymore, then it'll be time to, you know, go away.
Yeah. Well, you're doing great work and we love what TMA is doing. And I know that you drive to get stuff done for your members. And, I know for all of you, it is all about the membership. It's not about the organization. And I believe that I do want to clarify something that you said. It's called the Monitoring Association, but it's not just for monitoring centers. It's not just for central stations. Dealers can join. Vendors can join. There are plenty of opportunities to serve within the organization. Yes. Committees need to be filled. Work needs to be done to continue to move forward. Celia talked about some of these initiatives that they're undergoing right now, and Like she said, there are only seven people, lots of members, but seven people. And if you have some spare time that you could put into that, they would greatly appreciate any work that can come along. Who else have I not mentioned, Celia, who you would love to have? What type of career would you like to have somebody join TMA as a member?
We pretty much, we also have among our members what we call the proprietary, which are companies like Wegmans. So to be honest, anybody, I always tell people, if you offer monitoring services either through your own or through a third party, people should be members. Okay. Because after all, your customers are being monitored. And right, so right. It is important that you understand what are the best practices. You get to know people in the industry. You know, I know at one point CSA used to have this reputation, you know, it was a all boys club. They went to fancy places. And I can tell you, I was here when people thought that. And it was I used to sit in those meetings, like fascinated. You talk about entrepreneurs. Yeah. It's amazing the kind of conversations and to see these people, how they're competitors. And yet, when they're together in the association, in these meetings that people thought, oh, it's just, you know, and they're really talking about serious industry problems and coming up with solutions and working together. That is why when I left CSA, I kept thinking about it because, I mean, I'm telling you, this industry is something. And, you know, we really welcome everybody in our industry, yeah. In our association.
Yeah, when we started this podcast, it blew me away. So John Loud has an alarm company in Atlanta, and he agreed to be on the show. And I said, you know, we're not asking you to teach your competitors how to compete against you, you know, and he's like, I'll help anybody. You know, and he's done some incredible work with his group in Georgia.
Yes.
To get that legislation passed where the dealer is not fined for a false alarm. Great guy, just a happy guy, more than happy to help somebody start their business, even if they're opening up right next door. That is not something I've experienced in other industries ever. And I've worked in a few. It's been such a great experience. TMA, we're going to provide all of the contact information in the show notes for this episode. Okay. So if anybody needs to contact you or would like to join, how do they get in touch with you?
Give them my email, cbesor@tma.us, and I will connect you with, you know, my colleague, Eleni Matza, or you can go on our website, tma.us. We also have a lot of information there. The same thing I mentioned, FirstNet, I mentioned IQ, ASAP, all these programs, we try to have a lot of information, again, because there's only seven of us, right? And
sure.
So we want to give enough information. One thing too that I know FirstNet, it's kind of becoming more prominent. We actually, at the mid-year meeting, we had a session on FirstNet, and we decided to take it out of the recording, so only people that sign up for the meeting can access the recordings. But we're extracting that, and we're going to make it public on our FirstNet page, because that session was so good. We had people from the two manufacturers that I mentioned, as well as Morgan Hertel, talking from all points of view, from the, you know, monitoring center, from the manufacturer, from the dealer. And, you know, we just wanted people to be aware of it because it's a great program. So
great.
Everything is TMA.
We will also post anything that's public to the show notes for the show. And our website will soon be done. We've been working on it for quite some time, but we'll post that as well when it's there. Anything else that that you want us to post, we are more than happy to. Celia, thank you so much. It's been so much fun. I mean, even the pre-recording stuff that we talked about, it's always so good to talk to you. And we appreciate all of your support of Alarm Buzz. If there's anything that else that we can do to help TMA, do not hesitate to ask. And I'm sure we will be talking again soon. And hopefully someday we'll be able to meet each other face to face.
I hope so. And thank you again, you know, for the opportunity. I love talking about TMA and my members. So anytime you hear something that you want to know more about, just I'm happy to talk to you, as well as get some of my members. You know, we have amazing volunteers, a great board members. So just let us know and we'll work with you.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Celia. And thank you everybody for tuning in. You can also reach us at Trent@alarmbuzzpodcast.com, or you can reach Hannah, who is taking care of other stuff today, but Hannah@alarmbuzzpodcast.com. Thank you again so very much, and we will see you guys next time. Thanks, Celia.
Bye. Thank you.
Transmitted, displayed, published, or broadcast without prior written permission by Alarm Buzz.